It's a great day to be alive in Pittsburgh, PA, even if you don't have any power, I guess. Welcome into Cabali and Mac. We are two of the few people in this greater South Hills area, or Allegheny County, as Joe DiNardo used to say, who do have power. And didn't know if we had internet there for a second, but I think we're up and running. Kaboom, good morning. The kids are home from school because the roads are blocked and the power is out because there was, I swear, an F5 that ripped through our backyard last night.
Yeah, it was quite interesting. You know, I really appreciate the school district for texting me, calling me.
Here come the complaints.
Emailing me, putting it on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook.
Hey,
am I missing anything else? Leaving a message? I guess it's calling at like 5 o'clock in the morning.
I mean,
I think we got the idea.
You got the message?
Yeah.
Loud and clear. Thanks to the Dan Heck team for sponsoring us. I've been assured that they still have power. HeckTeamHomes.com, HAECK, which means if you're looking to buy or sell a home in the Pittsburgh area, they are the people for you. Dan, Michelle, Jeremy, Corey, John, Keith, Heather, Mike, Tia, the whole team waiting to help you maybe get into your first home, maybe transition from your first home to your forever home, whatever it may be. You're just looking to upgrade, looking to change neighborhoods, whatever it might be. You're tired of living across the street from Kaboom. That's happened. Whatever it may be, you're looking to move, you're looking to buy or sell a home, HeckTeamHomes.com, HAECK, the Dan Heck team, waiting for you. We thank them so much every single day for being the presenting sponsor of Cabali and Mac. It is a mailbag day. If you have questions, then by all means, get them in on the thread below wherever you're watching this. If you're watching it on YouTube, right there in the comments. If you're watching it on X or on Facebook or wherever, in the comments below, we'll get to as many of them as we can. And leftovers from Kaboom's mailbag as well that he wrote for the Pat McAfee show late last night, early this morning.
We might have not thought this through very well. How about if people are still without internet and power? Now they can't watch us.
Luckily for us, I thought about that. And yes, a great many of our viewers and listeners are in the greater Allegheny County area, again, as the great Joe DiNardo used to say. But many of them, as we know, are also displaced Yinzers, or maybe Yinzers who never really even lived here, right? Larry Yellen in Southern California, our guy that won the Jerome Bettis jersey down in Florida. I mean, our listeners and viewers are cast far and wide geographically, Kaboom. So look, there's a good chance that maybe, just maybe, without any power, you're sitting there watching it on your phone in the dark, and this is your only connection to the outside world. I'm here to tell you that we're here for you, okay? Even if it's just a question. See, Zach in Florida on YouTube already commented. See?
Yeah.
I mean, there's people everywhere.
I texted LeBar last night. I need to ask him something.
Does he have power? And,
he goes, I'm in my van right now. Because I have no power charging my car. Charging his phone. I'm like, bro, you live like 4 blocks from me, and my power never went out. It went out for a second.
Ours blinked as well. I wasn't here at the time, but my wife told me it blinked a couple times. And in the midst of the power blinking a couple times, our entire swing set got toppled over.
I was standing outside when it happened. And videotaping it like a moron.
Why? Are you Jim Cantore now? Out there going like this as the stop signs fly over your head?
Honestly, it only came through for like 20 seconds, but it was 20 seconds worth of
hellfire and brimstone.
Tree was snapping.
By God, it's Kane.
Neighbor's fence got ripped down.
Yeah, it was bad.
There was a bunch of stuff, but it was brief. It was like 20 seconds of just hell, fire, and brimstone, then it was just rain.
My God, there goes the swing set. Yeah, nearly toppled right into our swimming pool, but luckily it didn't. I was out there taking it apart piece by piece last night, and we'll continue that project throughout the rest of the week. That's fun. Going to have some Sawzaw fun. I love a good Sawzaw. I mean, just taking things apart piece by piece. Cannot wait. We'll burn some of it. Oh, yeah, that'd be good.
Removed the couch from my basement. It wasn't really fitting. It fit down, but it scraped up some stuff. So I'm like,
just chopped it up.
And it made it out the door pretty easily then.
Been there, done that. Have
you feel like a man? You feel like a man when you pull out the sawzall?
I think I told you, maybe I haven't told you this story before. When we lived over in South Park, our first house, we had a tree in our front yard that was getting a little out of control. And I just wanted to take some branches down.
Use a sawzall on a tree.
Well, wait, hold on. This is good. So I just wanted to take a couple branches off, right? Like just a couple of the low-hanging branches that, like, when I was mowing the grass, I'd have to duck and, you know. So I take a couple of the low-hanging branches off, and I really start to get into it, and I take a couple more branches off. And then before you know it, I take a couple more branches off, and there's nothing left. It's like a Charlie Brown tree at this point. And I'm like, screw it. Vroom, took it right down to the ground with a sawzall.
I hope you replaced it.
The tree?
You can't be I'm looking to plant some trees in my yard. My yard needs some.
After a day like yesterday, do you really need random trees in your yard blowing away from the house. Side of your house?
Away from the house. You know what I really need?
Not in a big enough front yard. You could put a little tree out there.
I need a landscaper, man. They put my landscaping crap in, and everything was eaten by the deer and is dead and looks like hell. I went out there with a shovel yesterday, and I'm like, well, this ain't going to work.
What are you trying to do? You just need like mulch and stuff done.
No, I need to like put some plants and bushes or something in there. And everything died.
What? How did it die? Did you not take care of it?
The deer came in and ate the whole damn thing.
That's no good. Yeah. I mean, the grass itself, we know somebody good that you could get that taken care of.
I need some grass. My grass is by far the worst in the neighborhood. I'm like, what's going on here?
You could have the best looking yard in the neighborhood. None of the maintenance. SouthwestGreensPA.com. I swear that wasn't planned. It just timed out that way. The Kaboom brought it up. They pop up on the screen. You get a hold of Jake at SouthwestGreensPA.com and talk to him about what they can do for your yard, because they can put, I mean, it could just be in a corner of the yard for the kids to play in or for your pets or for the swing set, which we don't have anymore, blown away in the storm last night, whatever. Could be the entire yard. You get a beautiful artificial lawn, looks real, feels real. None of the maintenance hassles that you have with having to water the grass in the middle of the dead of the summer when it won't rain for 2 weeks, having to mow and trim and fertilize and all that crap. Forget about it. Get a hold of SouthwestGreensPA.com. You'll have the best looking yard in the neighborhood with none of the maintenance hassle. We thank them as well for sponsoring Kabali and Mac. So, we'll let people start to get comments and questions in. I did want to ask.
I see some. They're rolling in. It's a
and I want to get to them, but there are a couple Wednesday. I did want to make sure we got to, even if they didn't pop up in the comments and the questions. Number one, the Robert Woods signing. He's 33. It's a couple mil, so like money wise, it's not a deal at all. It's very similar to Van Jefferson, not just because he played for the Rams, I don't think, but very similar to the Van Jefferson and Allen Robinson signings of the last couple of years, where he comes in. Now, the difference is hopefully he's not counted on to do as much as those guys were counted on to do.
Quez Watkins, you know, see what he has left. Those type of guys. I mean, I think Woods plays some slot. So bring him in. I'm sure they only paid him half a mil and maybe signing bonus, and they can dump him, and that's all they'd have to lose here. So that reminds me of something that was played off the draft when we talk about the Nick Chubb, and they didn't get a running back. Well, they didn't get a wide receiver, and obviously they've talked to Robert Woods beforehand and said, we don't get a wide receiver, we're calling you on Monday.
Monday, yeah.
So, I mean, that could have been just – I mean, who knows? That could have been Nick Chubb if they didn't take Caleb Johnson in the third round. So, I wouldn't get too worked up about it. If he works out, great. He's a veteran in the locker room who can still produce. But right now you're looking at what? Fifth on the depth chart, maybe sixth.
Fifth or sixth, you think?
You know, I mean, you'd have to obviously top three with Calvin Austin.
Right.
Roman Wilson at four.
Assuming Roman Wilson's allowed by the coach to get on the field and play football. Yeah.
Scotty Miller is they're all in that veteran leadership. The veteran group of the Scotty Millers and the – I don't even know who else. They brought somebody
else. Ben Skoronek's back, I think.
Yeah, Ben Skoronek. So, I mean, it's going to be tough for him to make the team, but why not take a flyer?
Yeah, I mean, like you said, if everything works out, he's wide receiver four maybe or five. Now, in an Arthur Smith offense, I don't know what wide receiver four or five is being counted on. Probably not that much, but...
Red flag. I'm going to throw the red flag.
What?
I don't know.
You just felt like throwing the red... I thought that was a hanky for a second.
No, it's the thing you clean your glasses with.
Oh, the nice little microfiber thing.
They don't work. Nothing works to clean glasses.
Why are your glasses always dirty? What are you doing?
Always. These are the worst glasses ever. I'm so pissed.
What's wrong with them?
They're garbage. They keep falling off my face.
What? Tighten them up then. Tighten them
went through. Down there three times and said they don't fit. And they say, oh, they'll fit now. No, they don't.
So well, you got a big old melon, kaboom. It stretches those things out.
It's just,
it stretches the arms out. And then
the arm thing, I've never seen something with such a big loop there before in my life. It's like wraps around the ears
just a little bit without breaking them, bend them without breaking them, like a Steelers defense in the fourth quarter, bend without breaking.
It's like the rec specs, man.
Oh my god, we need to get you some Chris Sabo rec specs, strap them up. Yeah,
James Worthy, but yeah, it's awful. I hate glasses, but I can't see anymore.
Okay, so Robert Woods. The other couple things I wanted to mention, because I saw some of them in your mailbag, and I just noticed in just being alive and listening to different stuff yesterday that the expectations for Will Howard. I don't know why we do this in this town. They're already starting to escalate, and it's like, listen, I get the Gruden quarterback camp feature was cool. I get he looks like a guy when he's slamming Jack Sawyer on the shoulder pads on the sideline at the national championship game after that pick six or scoop and score. Sorry. That he looks like a dude who like you want to get behind and you want to root for. It's Will Howard, right? But like pump the brakes, people. Yeah. He's a backup this year, regardless of who the starter is. Even if Aaron Rodgers and this, you know, damn well, this is going to happen, Mark, if Rodgers doesn't come in. And let's say they don't make a move for a Cousins either, right? Let's say the quarterback room is literally Rudolph, Howard, and Thompson. People aren't going to be excited about it, but let's say that happens, okay? In a worst-case scenario, if that's the deal, Rudolph is still your clear-cut starter, and there are going to be people, I've already seen them out there, especially in the national media, who say, well, let Will Howard start and see what you got in the kid. No, he's a developmental quarterback. He is not start unless Aaron Rodgers flakes out and Mason Rudolph gets hurt. Knock on wood, that doesn't happen. Will Howard's not seeing the field this year.
There's nothing wrong with that either.
No, that's okay.
You can bring him along slow, and I'm sure somebody's now going to say, but Tomlin doesn't develop quarterbacks. As I wrote today, I don't think that's Tomlin's responsibility to develop quarterbacks.
It's his responsibility to make sure he's got the offensive mind in place to develop.
Or have the guys who can teach the guy how to.
Yeah,
that's where you blame Mike Tomlin. Okay, if Tom Arthur and if Arthur Smith can't develop a quarterback, that's on them. But what's on Tomlin is hiring those two guys to want to develop a quarterback.
Well, and this is one of the fair knocks on Tomlin. That because he was blessed with a Hall of Fame quarterback for the first 15 years of his head coaching career, he didn't have to worry about it. He could let Ben just have his golfing buddies as the OC and the quarterback coaches in some cases, which really happened. And so there wasn't, you brought it up the other day. When Mason Rudolph was drafted, they didn't go out of their way to help Mason develop. They didn't hire a quarterback coach. They just kind of let him hang out and hope that he was going to absorb things via osmosis by sitting next to Ben Roethlisberger in meetings and standing there on the sidelines.
Then what happened the next year? Ben tore his elbow up.
Right.
And they're like, Mason, go have at it. It's like, what?
Yeah. Okay. Have it. What? What am I doing here? Not that he didn't understand, but like, they hadn't brought him along properly, and he still played pretty damn well, other than getting his face mask unscrewed and getting concussed and, being hit with his own helmet and all the other shit that happened that season. He still nearly had him in the playoffs and would have had him in the playoffs if they hadn't gone to Duck Hodges.
Well, they would have had him in playoffs if they didn't lose to a terrible Jets team in which he got hurt.
Right. So,
week, look, whatever, 15.
So in a world where Mason Rudolph gets a proper quarterback coach as soon as he comes into the league, we're talking about a different career, I think. And maybe he's been around long enough that I think we're talking about a different Mason Rudolph now even than the one that was here a couple years ago. We'll see this year, or maybe
we'll
see
it. Will Howard. I mean, what do you expect from him? If you're a six-round pick, 183 overall, and I listed a bunch today, man, they're not good. And somebody mentioned Zach Mettenberger. He was a six-round pick. They're not very good. That pretty much tells you where there's not too many Tom Brady's out there. You know, is there Brock Purdy, I guess you would like to say, that is out there. There's not many of them. So the expectations should not be high just based off of that. But if he's a career backup at sixth, man, I think it's a great pick. I don't know.
If he, like you said before, if he turns into Landry Jones and he's a career backup, that's pretty damn good for a sixth round pick, right? And he's able to step in.
There's always the potential of him growing into more than that. He had a solid, four games, five games, whatever it was at the end of the season, but the arm strength is not there. The accuracy is not there. I mean, those things, I guess the accuracy you can somehow fix, I guess, but not the arm strength. But you don't know the determination and the heart some guys have. Maybe he wills himself to be better than what his talent is, but let's not expect him to start.
No.
This year, next year. I mean, just let the guy go.
But you know, I've already heard people doing this. It just pump the fucking brakes on Will Howard. Again, I have come around to, and people give me crap all the time for being a Penn State guy, right? And they think I root against Pitt guys or Ohio State guys or whatever because I'm a Penn State guy. I don't. I want to see them do well. I wanted to see Kenny Pickett be the guy, but he wasn't, okay? Had nothing to do with him being from Pitt. Same thing goes with Will Howard. I want to see him develop in Pittsburgh and be a good quality backup quarterback and, you know, be one of those guys where occasionally he's got to get a spot start or step in for a series or two, Landry Jones style. Hey, I want to see that happen. I want to root for this kid. It has nothing to do with where he went to college. But let's just pump the brakes on him being the next Tom frickin' Brady. Relax.
Baby Ben.
Seriously. Right? I know. Stop. Like, 65 or 70 guys go in the sixth round or later every single year. And what are the three names that people always come back to when you talk about sixth round or later? Tom Brady, you mentioned Brock Purdy, and here in Pittsburgh, people love to bring up AB because he was a sixth round pick.
Well,
and
AB fell because other reasons, not because of his talent.
Right, but regardless, people like to bring these things up, right? And that's fair. All of those guys. Brock Purdy's been to a Super Bowl. Tom Brady, the greatest quarterback of our generation. Antonio Brown, the best receiver of a generation. But those are the absolute 0.001% exceptions to the rule. You're talking about the last 25 years of drafts, guys taken in the sixth round or later, and those are three that immediately pop to mind amongst probably 750 people that have been taken in the sixth round or later in the last 25 years.
I mean, Gardner Minshew was taken in the sixth. The guy that just got traded from the Patriots.
Joe Milton.
Yeah, he was a sixth rounder.
Yeah, exactly.
There were some guys that I've never even heard of before in college, let alone.
Right. So if we come up with maybe a handful of guys, and I'm sure there are other sixth and seventh rounders that we're not thinking of right now, that if we went back and looked, we'd come up with. But let's say there's five, six, seven guys over the last 25 years. I'll keep the last 25 years who have been taken in the sixth round or later who developed into quality NFL starters or better. Like, let's grant you that. That's a pretty liberal estimate, seven. That's still 1% of everybody taken in the sixth and seventh round or later over the last 25 years. So pump the brakes and let Will Howard develop slowly, hopefully. It seems like he's enthusiastic, though, which is good. One more thing I wanted to touch on, because it's way too early to talk about it, but you knew it was going to happen. The 2026 mock drafts are out, Kaboom.
I didn't even look.
I've just glanced at a couple of them because I'm curious about, well, obviously, the quarterbacks. Because even if Rodgers comes in and is the Steelers quarterback for a season, and Mason is still here next year, and let's say Will Howard's not going to go anywhere, I don't think, you're still probably going to look to see what's available in the first round quarterback-wise. And I'll just give you five names. Five names are being mentioned as possible first-round draft picks next year in the draft. You tell me if any of these guys interests you right now and how much you'll pay attention to them this fall. Arch Manning, obviously, in Texas, who has started all of two games at the collegiate level. Drew Aller, Penn State. Awesome season, except when it was that one throw. Lenoris Sellers at South Carolina. Garrett Nussmeier at LSU. Nico Yamaliava at UCLA. I'm not sold on any of those guys just quite yet as a franchise quarterback. I'm going to be curious to watch all of them if they're prospective first rounders, but there's a lot of holes in the game of, I would think, at least three or four of those guys.
Yeah. I mean, I can't sit here and tell you I know much about Sellers from South Carolina or anything.
He's a massive human being.
So I would definitely.
You want to talk about the baby Ben comps? They will come out for Lenora. Yeah,
I would. I mean, I think this the only thing good about the mock drafts or the potential 2026 quarterback classes. Now you can take a look at them and pay a little bit more attention to them this fall because you're figuring that's the way they're going to go. I mean, they got 11 picks right now in the draft. You know, 3, 4, 5, and 6. They got two of all each. Wait, 3, 4, 5, 6. Could move around a little bit. They got enough capital to move up. But, I mean, you have to – there's so many things that have to happen. Out of these top five, these five guys are going to have to play up to their potential and more to be still relevant come next year at this time. Then you're going to have to like a person. Is he going to fit in your system? You're going to be within range of being able to go get him. Or any. There's so many variables to the situation that you can't say, I will take him, I will take him, I will take him. I think what you do is just watch them all and make your own thought or make your own decision on who might fit best for him in the summer side or next year this time. I'm just not going to sit here and say Drew Aller is not going to fit with the Steelers or he's going to be number one or he's going to be a fourth round pick. Let's see what he does this year.
Yeah, I mean, I guess my point is
he could be a national championship quarterback. And hey, we saw what type of receivers he had last year.
I don't know how much better they're going to be this year. To be honest, we'll see. I know they're working in the portal.
Yeah, well, Torsha Jackson, I think I mispronounced your name, but whatever. She's right. Quinn Ewers was one of the top guys last year at this time.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Got to wait.
You got to see how these guys play in the fall. Manning, like I said, two career starts. Aller, very solid more often than not, but can he rise to the moment?
You would imagine that not all five of these guys are going to be top prospects come next year at this time, right?
I tell you, Nussmeier is going to be just because of his dad, who his dad is. His dad is an offensive coach. He's working for Kellen Moore.
I mean, you have to love Manning, too, for that reason alone. He's been groomed for something like this forever. But are you going to be even in position to be able to draft somebody, too?
I don't know. I've heard
that, too.
Yeah, and I've heard some sketch things about Nussmeier, just the way he carries himself. I think there might be a little bit. Look, you talk about people want to put the entitlement thing on Shedeur Sanders and the way he acted, according to some folks in interviews and through the pre-draft process. I get the feeling from some people I've talked to, you may see something similar from Nussmeier. Hey, my dad's a coach. Hey, I know things. But again, to the point we're both making, we got to see how all these guys play out on the field this fall. But interesting that some people are talking about five different guys maybe as first round caliber quarterbacks.
Let's bookmark this and see if those are the same five guys we're talking about in 11 months.
That's a good thought.
9 months, you know. I doubt all of them are going to be there. Now you gotta feel bad for Quinn Ewers too. If he stayed in college, he'd be a much richer
making more money. Yeah. I mean,
his NIL deal was like $4 million, and now he's making $4 million over
3 years,
four years.
Yeah,
less than that probably.
That's
considering his cabin in some of the the hunting trips that look like he went on.
Something he'll be fine, I think.
Something tells me the Ewers family is
doing all right.
Yeah.
They got a goddamn T-Rex on the wall. He'll be fine. They got a T-Rex on the wall. They're all good. So there's some other stuff we could talk about too, but let's start to roll through the mailbag first, though. I want to thank our good friends at Impact HVAC. Impact HVAC PGH on Facebook, or give them a call, 412-297-1852. Tony and the guys, look, it's going to start to warm up. There will be issues possibly with your AC, or maybe you just want to get it looked at, you know, maintain it, get it tuned up before it starts to heat up. That's a great idea too. Give them a call, 412-297-1852, Impact HVAC PGH on Facebook, and they will be happy to come on out and take a look at things for you and make sure you're all set up for the summer. And then once you get in that routine with the guys, you bring them back out in the fall before you got to turn the furnace back on. And it's just a good rhythm to be in. Emergency calls, maintenance calls, all of it. They're there for you. New installations, Impact HVAC PGH on Facebook, or 412-297-1852. All right, let's go to the mailbag. Are you ready?
The bag, the satchel. Right,
let's go to comments first. And Matt on X wants to know, can we not watch the Pirates? I don't know if he's saying, can we not watch the Pirates? Or is he saying, can we not watch the Pirates? I don't know. They lost 9-0 last night. That's all that I know.
Well, all I know is I watched the first four innings and Warren Spahn was pitching for the Pirates, according to Brownie.
What?
And all of a sudden it was like, well, oh, they must have done something different.
Oh, was Falter pitching well and then they blew him up?
It was Falter. It was Healy, wasn't it?
Sory, Heaney. Andrew Heaney. Heaney, whatever. Yeah.
You know, those broadcasts are sometimes difficult to listen to.
What's your problem with Brownie? He's trying to be positive, man. I don't fault the dude for trying to be positive.
Yeah, but it's over the top, man. Unbelievable. Oh, Nell Cruz with this catch. I'm like, wait a second. Like 99% of the center fielders in the league would have made that catch. But that's beside the point. What I'm saying is if you didn't know better and you'd watched their broadcast, you'd think that they were first place, 25-5. It's like, come on.
Well, they're doing their best, I think, to try and stay positive. I get what you're saying. It's hard to stay positive when you're already 8 games under 500 a month into the season.
It just gets too much after a while.
I mean, I will say this. The one reason to tune in is always worth it. And the one reason to tune in, if you only have one reason to tune in to watch the Pirates this year.
Pierogi race.
No, you can't watch that on TV, dummy. Skeens. Friday night was worth every single moment I sat there and watched him duel against Yamamoto, twisting up Shohei Ohtani with one of those splinkers. The man is a. I know where you're going, but I'm not going to allow you to ruin my enjoyment of Paul Skeens now by telling me what's going to happen in 3 years.
No, I'm not even talking about that. I'm just saying, what if? Man, all you had to do is spend a couple bucks this year to give the man some help, and maybe you wouldn't be in the position where you're at. That's where I'm at.
But I feel like a broken record when we go.
Yes, but every time you watch him play, you're like, man, this guy's great.
So
this guy's
great. Let me ask you this.
This
is a question worth asking Pirate fans, I think, or baseball fans in Pittsburgh who want to see the Pirates return to a point where they feel good about emotionally and financially investing in the team. Would you be willing to give up a year of Skeens prime in order to get a salary cap and salary floor installed in Major League Baseball? In other words, a year-long work stoppage. I'm not saying that's going to happen. I'm not saying it's even a possibility yet. But if that's what it took, remember right before Sidney Crosby came into the league, as Penguin fans, we said, hey, and we didn't even know at that point what the hell was coming down the pike. But we said, hey, as hockey fans, we got to fix the system. And we were willing to go without hockey for a whole year in order to get the system fixed. And people forget that. But and then there was more pain after that, right? Like years on the Outdoor Life Network and all this stuff. I can't believe you're wiping the camera while I'm talking. And you just completely disappeared.
Well, you're on some kind of rant. And, you know, I needed to slow you down a little bit.
I was just starting to get wound up and going. And you slowed me down. Thank you. I would have run right off the rug.
Everybody else is thanking me, too.
Yeah. Off. But like sometimes you got to pay the. Would you be willing to pay a price of you miss an entire year of Skeens prime in order to get a salary cap and salary floor and make the game more financially competitive?
I mean, you think you would lose a year?
Or I'm not saying you would. I'm saying you. If that happened, would it be worth it? Because that's if they really want to go after a hard cap and floor system and go after it, it's going to be a knockdown, drag out kind of fight.
I don't like to talk about things that's not going to happen, so I won't talk about me. Like, you have a better chance of me running that marathon on Sunday than there be a salary cap in the Major League Baseball.
Okay.
Or a salary floor for that mind. So, I mean, I hear so many people talk about 5-year plans, 6 years. What are you talking about? It's like I've been a 45-year plan that has failed. You get to a point where it just gets tiresome of watching the same garbage out there. I mean, old Cliff Gorski's playing first base now. We're supposed to be excited about a guy that comes in and batting 260 because he had two good games and had a home run. I mean it's cool. I am not getting excited over Cliff Gorski.
Matt Gorski. Stop being Cliff rude. Get the guy's name right.
No, Cliff. I told you who Cliff Gorski is, so I'm calling him Cliff.
I mean, it's cool the guy hit a homer in his first major league.
Well, what I'm saying is I shouldn't have to go down there and watch Cliff Gorski.
Matt Gorski.
Or Exxon Valdez. I shouldn't have to watch those guys. I mean,
Didn't Exxon Valdez walk off the other night or something, or a big home run?
I don't really care. All you had to do was spend a little bit of cash, get a player or two.
I agree with that.
You might be in that range where you're still a viable option of a wild card. Now you're just third worst team in the league.
Yeah. Again. Okay. Well, thanks for bringing the mood down, but I guess we had to since Matt asked about the Pirates. We have no problem with you watching the Pirates, Matt. As Mark just mentioned, he watched the first four innings last night, had no problem with it. Again, it's a mailbag edition, so we'll be all over the place here in the second half of the show, including Robert on YouTube, who wants to know, in all caps, what was your favorite Steelers interview?
What that I conducted?
It's an open-ended question.
I wouldn't say it's interviews. There's favorite people you like to talk to.
Who was your absolute favorite?
Well, you love talking to guys like Marcus Gilbert and Marquise Pouncey.
You're just an offensive lineman kind of guy.
Ramon Foster. I mean, yeah. Banner was always great.
When is he coming on the show? Have you arranged that yet?
I haven't talked to him in a while.
Here's what we're
gonna do. Early AB was great. Me and him, he showed me how to run a route in the middle of the locker room before he turned nuts.
Really?
Yeah, it was kind of interesting. This was probably, who knows when that was. I mean, Ben wasn't interesting. He was boring. I don't know. Always talking to Casey Hampton was a hoot.
Big snack.
I go left or I go right. Man, my job ain't hard. I go left or I go right. No, it'd be like, she.
Like, what's his name in The Wire? She.
That's like, my job ain't hard. I go left or I go right. Tom ain't going to tell me what to eat.
He called us once. So this is way back in the day on 1250 ESPN. When I was doing a show with Scott Paulson and Mike Logan. How about that? And Logan had Hampton call in, and he literally called us from the Burger King drive-through line.
The fake Burger King on the South Side?
No, it was a real Burger King because he was ordering double cheeseburgers. He ordered like 8 of them, I think. Which is a snack for a guy named Big Snack.
Big Snack? He ain't Big Snack anymore.
He's not. He looks great. Snack. Lost a ton of weight.
Yeah,
All right.
There's a specific interview, but there's probably specific people you like to talk to.
100 Kabbalis against a gorilla. Who wins?
Well, I probably would take me. You know, we just smother him.
Smother him? I mean, he's going to destroy the gorilla's going to destroy the first 4 or 5 humans.
I'm not expecting to come out of there unscathed. I'm not, losing half the people, but And you just go, all of us jump on him at the same time. What's he going to do?
Yeah, I guess you just suffocate him and tap him out, right? Have a
couple tons on him, you know.
You give him the old Gunther to Pat, the old choke out.
Yeah, I mean, that gorilla can do it. I know. You ever see that reel of that monkey? The gorilla just grabbing a monkey and just flinging him around. Whack, whack.
Right, their strength is ridiculous.
Yeah, but
which is why
monkey.
I don't know.
My medulla oblongata is bigger than theirs. Maybe.
Medulla oblongata. I think 100 kabooms win also, but there's got to be strategy there. You can't just go at them and say, I don't know, the first 7 or 8 guys will pin them and suffocate them, and then the rest of us will beat them to death.
All 100 surround him and jump on top.
And what happens when he destroys the first 5 or 6 humans? And they're laying there in a bloody, crumpled heap.
Well, we got 94 more.
Is everybody going to keep going? Are you going to have the guts to stand in there?
That's what I'm saying. You got to have to be the team. You got to be committed. You know, first one, hey, what would they say on Moneyball? When John Henry, whatever the hell his name is, first one through the walls always gets bloodied when you're talking about the Moneyball aspect. First one through the wall is always going to get bloody, man.
That's what I mean. And then it's up to everybody else to stand there and have the guts to stand in with the gorilla.
Hmm. Is it one of those lowland silverback gorillas?
Doesn't matter. It's a gorilla, Mark.
Well, or is it like a zoo gorilla where somebody hands him food every day? Here's a difference.
Doesn't matter. I'd be more afraid of the zoo gorilla because the zoo gorilla has that pent-up hostility and frustration from being locked in a cage most of its life, and it's ready to absolutely rip you apart. And then beat you with your own arms once it rips them off your torso. That shit is real.
I like my chance. And let me pick 100 people, I win.
Okay. Who would be first on your list to have?
Well, you have to have some sacrificial lambs at first.
Right.
You know.
So are you throwing, like...
I'm just trying to think the people I don't like. You go first.
Yeah.
You know, they like the team. You know, like the old war, and like World War II, or not even World War, even Civil War. You'd have firing lines, so the first.
Yeah, you'd be in the front line, and here comes a cannonball.
Let me go hide somewhere.
Yeah, you'd be the guy in the back.
Yeah, I'd be the guy behind the tree and behind the horse.
All right, Brian Garrett, a.k.a. Pony's Burner. Stop yawning.
I'm tired, man.
From what?
I don't know.
Exactly. In-ground pool, does that make someone a cake eater?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah?
Yeah. You have an in-ground pool?
No, above ground.
All
right. I'm white trash from Baldwin originally.
All right. Yep. In-ground pool, very, very cake eaterish. You play lacrosse, cake eater. I should make a 10,
you
10
should.
Rules of being a cake eater.
Yeah. Like, what are the 10 things that instantly qualify you as a cake eater?
Anybody that eats only vegetables on pizza, probably cake eater. If you're getting, like, a veggies lover pizza, you're a cake eater.
That's probably true. What else? Veggie pizza, in-ground pool, lacrosse.
Electric car.
Teslers. Those Teslers.
Oh, I mean, my kid's teacher has a Cyber truck, and he's like, I want to buy a cyber truck. I'm like, I ain't plugging that crap in.
Those things ain't cheap either.
I don't know. I don't even know where you'd even buy it at. I wouldn't say never, but.
All right, let's work on that list. Hold on. I got to write these down. I'm going to write down kabooms.
Playing lacrosse. Definitely.
Yeah. In-ground pool.
In-ground pool.
Okay. Veggie pizza.
Anything veggie pizza, yes.
What and else? Electric car.
Definitely electric car.
Kabooms, things that make you a cake eater.
There has to be. I mean, I have to think of some more. Any sort of like one of those Starbucks drinks that they're like 18.
Any Starbucks drink?
Well, like the $18. Pinkity dinkity things.
Oh, my daughter gets those all the time. Yes. Pinkity dinkity Starbucks drink.
Yes. Yes. That makes you a cake eater, right? Well, you know, another one, if you shop at like Whole Foods or something like that, there's another one.
Okay, shopping at Whole Foods.
Yeah.
All right, what else? We got six already. What else makes people a cake eater? Do you want to work on this list?
Yeah, I mean, that's just off the top of my head right now. Okay. I'm sure I'm forgetting some.
There you go. There's your social media content for this afternoon. I'll get that up. Your face, the list of someone eating cake. We've got content for the day. Robert wants to know if you've ever thought of writing a book on the Steelers.
Absolutely not.
Why?
I was approached a couple times, but I have no patience to do that. I am a born, bred, my whole career has been write the story, move on to the next one.
I'm a journalist.
I'm not a journalist. I'm a sports writer.
There's a big difference.
Yes, huge difference. I just cannot.
I feel like
that much time. I would like to have a book with your name on it. That's nice, but I don't have the patience to sit there and write an entire like 300 page book. And those guys, for the most part, get paid nothing. They get like something up front, like a couple grand. And
right.
That's it for like months of work. Forget that.
I feel like you should teach a sports journalism class somewhere.
Well, it's better than Starkey. He like turns on like the 1964 ABA playoffs and says, "This is one of the best games ever."
There, write a story about this game. Alex English had 39 points.
That's
it. Didn't make a single three pointer. Write a story about it, horse. When is the Rodgers announcement?
I say May 22nd.
Is that just the date you're picking out of thin air, or just because it's before mandatory minicamp?
No, minicamp's like the 28th. I say within the next 4 weeks. I think it will be before OTAs. At latest, it will be during OTAs. I think he'll be there for minicamp and the offseason, and obviously training camp.
Okay.
But all of a sudden, people are starting to believe that he's going to be here.
I wonder why. ECA on X asked, can anyone tell me what high or low ceilings and floors mean? I think people use these phrases to sound smart. Thank you. Love your humor and info. Why, thank you, ECA.
So here's
not totally convinced you're not a lot.
Ceilings and floors.
I mean,
that's another cake eater thing. People that use those draft terms to make themselves sound, you know.
That use,
you know, like loose hips and
draft cliches. That makes him a cake eater.
I mean, what are you talking about here?
Okay.
The people that, you know, another one, this is not another one, but it's just offshoot of that. The people that ask questions say, yeah, you know, can you kick out to the three technique, a three eye? You know, shut. Nobody knows what the hell that means except you and like football. You're supposed to write to the general public. The general public doesn't know what the three-eye position is.
Yeah, I'll be honest. Like,
man under bullshit is. They don't know that.
Every time a defensive line technique is mentioned by number, I always have to go back and re-verify like where it is on the line just to make sure I know what I'm – because it is
– inside shoulder, outside shoulder, right. Over the guard. I mean, nine, wide nines, dig routes. I mean – you know what I call it? A go route. Go deep. But people that ask the questions that hopes that the coach said, boy, this guy must know what he's talking about.
Did you see what Schlereth said about the Browns quarterback room? If you take the best qualities from each of their five quarterbacks, they would add up to a backup quarterback.
Well, let's play this game. Let's play
okay.
This game,
you know? So what are we taking from Flacco? Wisdom and experience?
Yes, definitely.
Okay. From Kenny, what are we taking?
Running.
Mobility?
No.
Is he more – he might be a little – is he a little more mobile than Sanders and Gabriel? Not really, no.
Yeah, this might be a tough exercise.
Okay, let's skip Kenny.
What are you taking from Deshaun Watson? He was good 5 years ago?
No.
Yeah. Maybe what do
you I don't even know if you get a good backup quarterback. Who do you think starts week one for the Browns? This is a great I talked Flacco. About this with my son yesterday. Who starts week one for the Browns at quarterback?
I think Flacco, easily.
Easily?
What the hell?
What?
I mean, you're going to have Dylan Gabriel or Shador Sanders?
Kenny? I don't know.
Kenny?
It's the Browns,
I mean,
man.
You might be at the point where,
okay,
it's either Flacco or Pickett getting cut.
You think?
Are you getting rid of Shedeur Sanders? That's tough.
No.
You get rid of Dylan Gabriel to then admit that you screwed up with pick.
Do you think you could get Gabriel through to the practice squad?
You keep him four on your. How many teams keep four on their roster?
I mean, they drafted two, obviously. Like, they've got a thought about these young guys.
I think Flacco starts the season. Pickett eventually takes over.
Neither one of the rookies.
Yeah, and I think.
But you just said one of the two is going to get cut.
Maybe they will keep four. It'd be very Cleveland-like. They shouldn't. I don't think any of them. I think you have to keep all four. Maybe they should cut Deshaun Watson. I think Schlaer's wrong.
Stay on injured reserve forever.
I don't think you can put together a good backup quarterback with all.
I don't think you can either.
I don't think you can. When are you going to put in Dylan Gabriel? His size is 5'7".
You got two check down Charlies in the mix. You got I'm not sure what Gabriel brings to the mix, to be quite honest.
Both got small hands.
I don't think you could Frankenstein together a good backup quarterback from all five of the quarterbacks they have in Cleveland. So it's an interesting thought from Schlereth.
Well, Flacco might have the experience, might have the arm strength. He doesn't. Maybe the youth of Kenny, the youth slash. I don't know. This is just terrible. Poor Browns.
Poor Browns.
Boy, that damn shirt's going to get bigger, huh?
What do you mean?
With all the names.
Oh, the quarterback shirt. Yeah.
You got to add like one, two, three, four more guys. No, three more guys to the list.
Dwayne D on YouTube tells me that what I've heard about Garrett Nussmeier is not accurate or correct, that he is humble and a good leader. I'm just telling you what I hear. I got peoples in Baton Rouge who are somewhat close to the program. So I'll just leave it at that, and we'll see where it goes.
What do you have in Baton Rouge is close to the program? Ed Orgeron?
Family.
Ed Orgeron.
No, I am not related to Ed Orgeron. I'm not related to Eddie. Oh, that is not true. Mark, if A-Rod signs,
when?
What are the Steelers' expectations? Okay, when A-Rod signs, what are the Steelers' expectations? And if they don't get him, what are the expectations? I find it hard to believe we won't be a playoff team either way. Casey Taylor on X. I tend to agree here with Casey.
I wouldn't say hard to believe they're a playoff team. I mean, come on.
I mean, they're a 9 to 10 win team with Mason, I think. And I think they're maybe a 10 to 11 win team with Rodgers. I think that's it.
I still think Rodgers has something left in the tank.
If Rodgers is not what he looked like his last year in Green Bay, which was not very good, or at times the first half of the season last year in New York, in that case, they're still a 9-win team.
I still think Rodgers has a lot of talent. He's done it forever. Only question I have with Mason is he's never really done it for a year. He's done it in spurts, right? He's had 6 games here, 4 games here, 3 games here. He's never did the 17 games. So it leaves me if there's anything to be skeptical about Mason, that's it. Can he produce like he did over the last 3 games of 2 years ago over 17 games? I don't know that. I don't think anybody knows that.
So my opinion anyway, I think Mason can hit what for him is his peak, which is like you talk about those, you know, 3 games, that 3-game peak that we saw a couple years ago. I think we can see that from him more often in this offense, especially than we can see Rodgers peak in this offense or in any offense for that matter. Like, I think Rodgers is going to give you a great game or two, right? And then regress back to being a 41-year-old quarterback for a few weeks at a time. And then a great game or two and regress back. And so I think just on Rodgers' natural ability, despite the fact that he's older now and can't do things as he was able to do 5 years ago, 6 years ago, he's still going to win you 6 games just based on the fact that he's Aaron Rodgers. And then another 3 or 4 games based on him elevating everyone around him because he knows what to do at this point in his career. And he just picks apart the defense while he's standing at the line. Mason, I think, is more liable to give you consistent effort over 17 games. Will he have 2 or 3 clunkers in there? I think that's likely. but the person who asked about floors and ceilings earlier, like, I think Rodgers is obviously a higher ceiling than Mason. I think Mason, his floor is probably not as low. If Rodgers really tanks, if the age totally catches up with him, if he doesn't recover fully from the Achilles, that could still be an issue. Then, yeah, I mean, you could be a 7-win team with Rodgers at quarterback.
I'm willing to take that chance.
Mm.
I think they're willing to take that chance too. I mean, let's not kid ourselves. They are thinking they can win now, and for the most part, it looks like they can win now if they get above average quarterback play. Why can't they be one of those teams? I mean, it can go either way, of course, but I would like to see what Aaron Rodgers can do. I mean, but there's not really any much history of a guy coming near the end of his career and leading him to the championship. But what do we have? Close to maybe Favre.
Favre got to an NFC championship game,
they
right?
Decided to like kill him. But I think they put together a very good roster right now. Much better roster than they had last year. But they need that quarterback play to bring it all together. Oops.
Here we go with the Will Howard stuff. Nate, who we love, he comments on YouTube and watches all the time. Kaboom, how high are they on Will Howard? Steeler DNA. I love that phrase becoming a thing.
If they're
big
high
body QB, shows he can win with some weapons, and we have some.
If they were extremely high on Will Howard, they wouldn't have waited till pick 183.
Mm, okay.
Great value. Let's take a shot on him. That's where they're at, right? Let's see what he can do. I mean, I think they weren't interested in taking a quarterback at anywhere near the top first or 2 days. They just were surprised Will Howard was there at 183. I think they were more looking at expecting a guy like Riley Leonard was going to be there and they would have been able to take him. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I don't think you can say they're high on anybody who's a 6th-round pick. Because if they were, they
would have drafted him earlier. Right, yeah.
Oh, this is a good question. What was he, the 7th quarterback taken? 6th, 7th?
6th, I think. 6th? Anyway, this is a good point from Brian Garrett, a.k.a. Pony's Burner. Cake eater status, imported beers. Drinking imported beers, does that make you a cake eater?
I'll tell you what makes
I say food. No, by the way.
Well, this is together here, and people have heard me say this before. People that eat sushi and drink wine are cake eaters. They just do that.
You have to do the two things together, one separately makes you a cake eater.
Let me have some cab. Yeah, shut up. You don't like that.
You don't like wine sometimes? Nah. You've never had a good red wine with like an Italian, like a chicken parm or a pasta dinner?
Give me a glass of water and iced tea or something. What do I want some crappy wine for?
Because it tastes good. It's a good accent taste to what you're eating. That's how it works.
Tell me some of your garbage beer that you drink is like, boy, this is really tasty.
No, sometimes when it's hot out, I just like a good cheap light beer. I've said that before. I'm on record as being a believer in just good, cheap, light beer. Sometimes I want something good, but like I got no problem. If I got a natty light in the back of the fridge out in the garage,
you're going to say it tastes good.
If it's cold and it's light beer, it tastes like cold, light beer. It's cold light beer on a hot summer day. It doesn't matter if it's icy light, if it's natty, if it's Miller, if it's Bud, if it's whatever.
I'd like to have like a nice glass of iced tea over some crappy Miller Light.
What kind of iced tea do you drink? The unsweetened stuff, or does yours have to be packed with sugar?
No, I hate that. Sweet tea's awful. I just use the old tea bags and the tea bag maker.
No way.
I'm a tea bagger.
I did not have you pegged as an unsweetened tea.
I ripped on Turner. Justin talked about Turner's. I ripped on Turner's one time.
Why would you do that? I mean, it's no Schneider's. I'll give you that.
And Turner's like retweeted something of what I said. I was like, oh, shit.
Were they mad at you?
It's like a cardboard box to me. I'm sorry.
Do you like Schneider's?
Absolutely.
Ah, there we go. That's my man.
Not to mention they're my neighbors, but
wait, what?
I think one of them is my, I think he's my neighbor.
We need an iced tea deal then. Let's go.
I don't know.
If the Schneiders live in your neighborhood and this guy grew up in Baldwin drinking Schneiders, I'd be surprised if they didn't put it in my bottle when I was a baby. We need a Schneiders deal. Let's get it done. Okay.
Schneiders.
So I've got
Schneiders milk in my house right now.
I've got 9 things on the things that make you a cake eater list so far. We'll check in on that before we wrap up.
Think about this.
Best combo for a PB&J, John wants to know. His is creamy peanut butter with strawberry jelly. That's a good combo, John. I'll be honest. Strawberry jelly is underrated.
The kid just had to get some Uncrustable strawberry.
Those are good. But
you know what I am, man? I used to love this Jif.
Uncrustables for cake eaters?
Yeah. They're kids. They're kid meals. I used to like this Jif, like low calorie something, crunchy. It wasn't really a calorie or whatever, but it just had a good taste, but they discontinued it. So I just go with the Aldi brand peanut butter. I don't really care, but I am a big fan of the peanut butter and banana sandwich.
Really? I don't think I've ever tried that. That was an Elvis thing, wasn't it?
Yeah, banana gives a little bit of sweetness and with the peanut butter, tons of vitamin K.
The hell are you talking about?
I don't know what type of vitamins are in.
Potassium.
So try the peanut butter and...
I don't like crunchy peanut butter, though. No crunchy peanut butter.
Whatever.
I might as well just smash up some peanuts and put them between 2 slices of bread.
I don't like the peanuts that are like...
Did you ever try to
stir it up?
Yeah, no. With all the oil sitting on top?
Whoa, that's nice and healthy. The other stuff is emulsifiers.
No. Like, here's the thing, too. With crunchy peanut butter, you're not spreading that easily on bread. It just rips the bread to pieces. Like, what are we doing here? I want peanut butter, not peanut chunks. You know what I'm saying?
I like I'm a chunky peanut guy, too. But I'll take it anyway. Whatever this cheaper one is.
Nate's calling you out for young quarterbacks they didn't take. He said, thank goodness they didn't take Riley Leonard. I agree with Nate.
Hey, me. You're acting like I had a choice here.
It was your call in the mock draft last week. And
I said they were interested in who went 3 picks after Will Howard.
Riley Leonard.
There you go.
So they weren't interested. They took Will Howard.
Well, Will Howard, they weren't expecting to be there.
Justin says, I think they would have taken Milroe in the 3rd. Do you agree? They needed a running back there, I think.
Yeah.
Although if Caleb doesn't fall to them at 83, maybe they look at the rest of the running backs and say, let's jump on the quarterback here. If Milroe had been there.
I think the Milroe would have came into play if they still had the 2nd round pick.
Yeah.
You could grab your Milroe. I think he'll do all right in Seattle.
I mean, he's lucky. He doesn't have to start right away. He can get up to speed. And then the second Darnold falls on his face, they could take over from there. And I think that's a good spot for him. Although, we'll see.
Brian Garrett might cut number 10 there. Some people that dye their hair.
People that dye their hair?
You know, just for men.
Well, no, he said hair gel for men.
Oh, I thought he meant.
No, he means like putting gel in your hair, styling it.
Gelling it, or just be everywhere.
So not cake eater.
Maybe.
Qualification.
I always rip on Yoey for dyeing his beard. I'm like, dude, in like 6 hours it's going to be growing out. So why are you doing that? I wouldn't. I'd be receiving votes.
We will have to get. We have to get Yoey on. By the way, once he's done with his commitments in Florida, and he's covering the Panthers Lightning series.
That's great.
Well, no, he's busy. I want to get him on to talk about Sullivan and what happened.
There's nobody in Florida from that organization that covers.
All right, stop it! Stop fighting
basketball.
Stop fighting.
They don't cover any Florida teams.
Stop fighting your personal battles on the show.
No playoffs. I'm just telling the truth.
Shots fired.
Poor Yoey has to go down there. Well, I'm not poor Yoey. Gets to go to Florida, but then you have to see Tampa and Florida play.
I mean, it's good. It's been a great series.
Yeah,
that's been wild. You don't know because you don't watch. You don't watch anything but football and wrestling.
It's like watching No, my kid always turns it on.
Turns on what?
This Dance Moms stuff is driving me nuts. Dance Moms. I'm like, why do you, I guarantee if I go upstairs right now, that Dance Moms on.
Is that the one with the lady from Penn Hills? The crazy lady from Penn Hills?
It's just so many questions, man. Why are the mothers all dressed up and like in class? I'm like, nobody wants to answer that for me.
Nobody can, maybe.
And I just go up there, I see it on. I'm like, either shut it off or I just come downstairs.
Oh, Justin. Let me tell you, Justin, what Kaboom thinks of the NBA playoffs. I brought up the whole Giannis, Mr. Halliburton confrontation at the end of last night's game. And Kabali's response was, I don't watch no stinking NBA playoffs.
No, I think the exact quote was, I don't give a shit about the Pacers and the Bucks.
Oh, so you're really, I ain't watching no Pacers and Bucks. Sorry. That's the exact quote.
You're lucky I knew what teams you were talking about by just saying
Halliburton. I said Giannis and Halliburton. You had to know what teams they were by default.
I bet you some of the people that's watching this right now don't know Tyrese Halliburton.
Anyway, this brings up an interesting question. You used to cover high school sports back in the day, right? Oh, yeah. And I have to think you saw some crazy parents confront people.
Yeah, like me.
Really?
I took a picture. A kid was, I don't even know who it was. I was taking pictures because he had to do everything back in the day. Take pictures, lay out, write the story, everything. I took a picture of a kid in left field as he was charging the ball. The ball hit him right in the nose, and he would come off like this, and there was blood everywhere. She flipped out on me. I embarrassed the kid, blah, blah, blah.
You embarrassed him by taking a picture?
I thought it was a pretty doggone good picture.
Did it run?
Yeah, absolutely. I have to say so, and so absolutely did it run. Get Yo-Yo in here to talk about the old Daily News days. About how he wrote the story about Thomas Jefferson and Elizabeth Ford. Mm-hmm. And the EF coach called Thomas Jefferson coaches bunch of, what do you call them? Butt buddies. So in the headline, I put butt buddies. Big, like, war font, like 200 butt buddies.
How'd that go over at EF?
EF had to call and apologize because the coach called the other coach butt buddies.
I love that Yo-Yo ran with it.
If you Google butt buddies and Thomas Jefferson, the story pops up.
Oh, no, I'm doing that right now because I need to see this story. No, it didn't come up.
It didn't?
No.
I'm sure I can find it in a sec.
I'm sure you can. You're much better at Google searches than I am. People are talking about Milroe now. If the Steelers had drafted him, he would have flipped the table, Dwayne says. He can chuck a ball downfield and run like a running back, but everything else stinks. Brian Garrett says they threw that lady from Dance Moms in jail. Wasn't aware. Justin's a huge Pacers fan and says that game was wild. Of course, he's happy because Halliburton hit the game-winning shot at the end. He also says that you're rude, Kaboom.
Why am I rude?
I don't know. I mean, you would admit that sometimes you can be a bit surly, right?
Not as surly as what I'm sending you right now.
All right. I can't wait to see the butt buddy story. Thank you. Any other questions from your mailbag that we want to address? I know what I wanted to bring up before we wrap up the show. You, after fielding everybody else's questions yesterday, were asking one of your own on social media.
Did I?
Is a monster truck rally a good event for an 8-year-old boy? No. And what is it with a $25 service fee on
per
each
ticket?
I'll answer these questions in reverse order. That's just the price of doing business these days.
I used to go to the Poison concert in the late 90s. You know, like $8 half the time. I just walked into Star Lake and they just didn't even know.
Talk dirty. You went to the Syria Mosque see Poison Star in 1989. Lake.
We would go to Poison every year and just either listen to it out in the parking lot or just walk in halfway through.
Talk dirty to me. Brett Michaels still usually comes through every single summer.
Get him on the program.
We should get him on the program. That's a good call. We're doing a lot of guest farming the last few days, by the way. We will have a guest on Monday. Very well-known guest in his field. Like, top-of-the-line guest in his field.
Yes. Stuff to do with. We'll give you a little hint. A little football-related, baseball-related, wrestling-related. Related.
Interesting story. Ties local to, guy.
We like to throw the local guy in there.
Yeah. So that should be interesting on Monday. But we're talking to a lot of different people about coming on the show, and those that actually answer our texts will usually
strange people. I mean, it's not just like, hey, let's talk to Isaac Seumalo. We're going with a little outside the box.
I mean, if Seumalo wants to come on, that's cool.
No, Seumalo. There's a scary individual. Isaac, you got a minute?
No.
Got 30 seconds.
Okay. All right, I'll be quick.
Yes, sir.
I'll answer the second half of your two questions, or the first half, second. Is a monster truck rally a good event for an 8-year-old boy? Hell yes. Why wouldn't it be?
Well, here's another one I should have asked. Where are the best seats at Acrisure to watch this at? Should it be upper high, or what are we talking about here?
So I'll tell you.
End zone-ish? What are we
made
at?
Plans months ago, like way back around Christmas, me and a couple neighbors, to take the boys down to that super motocross thing on Saturday night. And we were literally last row of Heinz Field. I'll never call it Acrisure Stadium. Last row up in the 500s. And the view was excellent. Now, the one thing I will say is you can't identify the bikes as easily because you couldn't necessarily see the numbers from that high up, but you still got to see the whole track and watch the race. And you got an overview of it, right? It was really good. It was froze my ass off, but it was really good. I would think with monster trucks, you'd want to be somewhere up in the second level so you can see the whole thing and it's not as hard to identify the trucks as it is dirt bikes. I think you'd be good up in the 500s.
I don't think I've ever been to Heinz Field.
As a fan?
I've probably been to hundreds of games there, but never been in a stadium.
You've never been in the stands themselves?
No.
Never?
So. Well.
Not even during COVID?
COVID, we had to sit there for
right
for practices, for OTAs and stuff like that. We had to be in there, but other than that, nah.
Huh.
I don't think, maybe I've went to one high school game there, maybe.
Well,
maybe not even. Well, I mean, why would I go there? To go see Taylor Swift?
Uzi? There have been some good concerts there. I'm trying to think of who I've seen there. Speaking of Kenny Chesney, a great show.
Where are the Jelly Roll tickets at?
Man, I can get Jelly Roll tickets for myself before I get them for anybody
else.
Oh,
I see how you work.
Yeah, I take care of me first. Then I take care of my people.
Call me cheap, and you're the one begging for tickets everywhere.
I don't beg. I told you this. I ask nicely, and then people provide. If you would ask nicely, people might provide. Open call. Anybody who has Monster Jam tickets for Kaboom, help a brother out.
I'm in charge of getting them for my nephew and my brother-in-law. So
how many do you need? Four?
Like four, I guess. I've been looking at them, and I'm like, should I hit it? Hold off. I don't know if you should take it, Matt. I'm such a newbie to this crap of. Did you go through Ticketmaster, StubHub, SeatGeek? I mean, what the hell's the difference?
You don't know how to buy tickets to stuff?
I know how to buy tickets, but I want the cheapest ones.
Well, of course, everybody wants the cheapest ones, but you also don't want to be in a shitty seat.
I don't know how this works. I mean, what's the difference between
15 minutes on your phone. You spend enough time on Twitter. You can spend 15 minutes on your phone searching a couple different apps to see where the least expensive seats are.
I'm not talking about that. I just want the better seats. I just don't. Right. Are the same seats available on SeatGeek, StubHub, and Ticketmaster? If I'm going to look at section 532, row A, seat 1, 2, 3, and 4, you get them on both or no?
I don't know. You got to check all the options. It involves work.
It's goofy.
It's not goofy. It's called a free market system where people can list things for whatever price they want to list them for. Capitalism, baby. It's not always the cheapest option.
I wanted to be the cheapest option.
I know you.
Last thing I do, I want to do is spend $300 for tickets and go, boy, this sucks. Oh, I bought mine for $8. Son of a bitch.
You're not going to get tickets for $8 anymore. It's just not going to. Anyway, we will complete the, I just real quick, I want to complete this list for you. Things that make you a cake eater, according to Mark Cabali. I mean, playing lacrosse.
Yep.
In-ground pool.
Yep.
Veggie pizza.
Yep.
Electric car.
Mm-hmm.
Pinkity dinkity Starbucks drinks.
Yep.
Shopping at Whole Foods.
Yep.
People that use draft cliches.
Yep. Okay.
Eating sushi.
Yeah.
Drinking wine.
You can put sushi and wine together. Is that
they go? So hold on. If I go and get sushi, I'm not necessarily a cake eater unless I drink wine while I'm eating the sushi. I need to make the list official before.
What is it now? They're separate. How many are there?
If they're separate, you have 9.
We'll keep them separate. I mean,
sushi. Okay, so 9 different things that make you a cake eater.
Well, it has to be a 10. We have to have an even number.
You don't have to. We could ask people to submit their ideas for the 10th. Engagement. Kaboom. Content. Sound good?
I mean, if you cook the sushi, it's freaking good. It's called fish. Fish sandwich.
Fish sandwich. Okay. Real quick.
I'm totally overlooking something, but.
You are. You'll think of it, though, and maybe we'll add it to the list later, okay? Does that sound good?
Here's one. If you live in Peters Township, there you go.
Wow.
I always told Yoey that, so that's why I said that.
What if you live in that part of Peters Township that's more like Finleyville? Like Venetia.
That's where Yoey grew up at.
Right, so that's not.
But he always claimed he said was from Peters Township. I said you grew up in the armpit of freaking Peters Township.
Right. I mean, so that's mad. What amounts to the armpit of Peters.
He would get so mad when I said that. Penn State fans is a good one.
Not all Penn State fans are cake eaters. Come on, not all of us. Are you adding that to the list or not?
No.
Oh, this is a good one, Torsha. The 10th would be calling Heinz Field, Acrisure Stadium. Is that cake eater activity, using the term Acrisure Stadium?
You know, it was very cake. It's not cake eater.
No.
People that call, hey, I'm going to the Berg. Who calls it the Berg?
Nobody.
Nobody, except, you know, if you're, what's his name on, what movie was that?
I don't know.
Julian and, Gary Berthier, I'm going to head down the Berg.
When do they say what? They say that in. No, they don't.
Remember the Titans. He was going to go down to the Berg. His mother wouldn't let him because he had to go to church with her.
Hey, but that wasn't a reference to Pittsburgh.
No, but I'm just saying. Big J, Julian said, yeah, we're going to go down. No, Jerry said, told his mom, we're going down to the Berg. No, you're not.
So you're saying using the phrase Acrisure Stadium is not cake eater activity?
It's not. You're gonna give it a pass. Top 10. It's not my top 10.
Not in your top 10. But living in Peters Township is.
Well, Peters Township, Upper St. Clair.
Well, now you're getting
the Peters Township. The Peters Township was just to make Gary mad. So.
Well, it's gonna go on the list.
With a. Brackets that says Josh Owey. Right. But I think he lives in St. Clair now, so he went from one to the next.
It's still cake eater, I think it qualifies. That's going to do it for a Wednesday mailbag edition of Cabali and Mac. Make sure you are subscribed. If you are not, get your friends to subscribe. Friends, loved ones, neighbors, be a friend. Tell a friend something nice, and that would include, hey, you should go subscribe to Cabali and Mac on YouTube, because once we get to 1,500 subscribers, somebody is going to win that autographed Pat Freiermuth Penn State helmet. We appreciate you joining us. We'll do it again on Friday. There's still stuff. We didn't even get to touch on Belichick's crazy girlfriend, or Pat versus Gunther next Saturday at Backlash, or the George Kittle extension, or any of the other
Gunther.
The ring general.
I'm still skeptical of that.
We'll see. It could be cooking into something bigger. We'll see. We'll get into all that on Friday. Plenty more to talk about every single day. Make sure you're subscribed and following. Kabali and Mac, we appreciate your support. Thanks again to Heck Team Homes and the Dan Heck Team for supporting as well.